From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
2, 3, 4.
Pork chops, my girl tastes like pork chops. My girl tastes like pork chops. When I kiss her, I wonder what she had for dinner. Pork chops, I bet it was pork chops. I bet it was pork chops. And I got a hunch, I can tell you what she had for lunch. Sizzling, grizzling, drizzling slabs of high-class bacon meat. Ain't no fooling when she starts drooling. Tastes like drips of liquid hog lips spilling outside of a bucket of pig feet. Pork chops, my girl tastes like pork chops. My girl tastes like pork chops. When I kiss her, I wonder what she had for dinner.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and today on the show, live music in studio. It's one of my favorites, the Two Man Gentleman Band. We'll talk about many of their food-related songs, including pork chops, which you're hearing right now, plus fancy beer, cheese and crackers, and tikka masala. And just for good measure, they'll play a song that has nothing to do with food, because they got a lot of great ones of those, too. Plus, they'll offer tips on eating while driving. This comes from guys who spent, well, much of the last 10 years touring together in a van. Now, I know what you're thinking. What business does a food podcast have talking to musicians anyway? What do food and music have to do with each other?
There is this thing that happens with both food and music where truly great versions of both are familiar in ways that remind you of things that you've already heard or already tasted, but are new and innovative in ways that make you go, this is like nothing I've ever heard before.
That's Zach Brooks from the podcast Food is the New Rock. He interviews musicians about food and chefs about music. We'll discuss the relationship between the two later in the show. Put your dancing shoes on and stay with us.
I wonder what she had for dinner. Pork chops.
Pork chops.
Joining me now in studio on The Sporkful is a band that I have loved and enjoyed and admired for so long. They are the Two Man Gentleman Band. We have on lead vocals and guitar, Mr. Andy Bean. Andy, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We have on acoustic upright bass, Mr. Fuller Condon, also known as The Councilman. Hey, Councilman.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And on drums, Mr. Brian Cantor. Hey, Brian.
Good morning.
So I know it's the Two Man Gentleman Band, and you kind of are three gentlemen today, but Brian, you don't have the same kind of hat they have. So
I'm required to wear a different hat.
You're not just one of the two gentlemen. I'm just telling you. You don't look very gentlemanly. You look wonderful, but a different kind of wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Beefing up the sound.
That's right.
To stay food related, if we may.
I was struggling as I was coming here to talk to you guys about exactly how I should describe to listeners who haven't heard your music before precisely what you do. Andy, how do you describe it to people?
I think it's best, we come from an old-time string, jazz, and Western swing tradition, but writing our own tunes largely about food, beverages, partying situations, and historical figures.
Yeah. I usually say, happy good times.
That's more concise. Yeah.
And when you guys perform live, since it's radio, people can't see you, you guys have some portion of your normal attire, but describe how you dress for a two-man gentleman band.
We like to dress like young grandpas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knickers. I've seen some knickers. Is that right?
We went through a knickers period.
Andy Bean did.
Yeah, we went on tour
time
once.
For the rest of us.
We went on tour once in the UK, and those were the only pants I brought for a month.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, sleeping on bar floors in my knickers.
And bow ties. There are bow ties.
Yeah, you know, and we've. You know, we often do a neckerchief now.
Mm-hmm. Ascot, I've moved to an ascot.
Okay.
Graduated.
And what do you call those hats?
This is just a straw.
Yeah,
a straw gentleman's.
Panama hat.
Panama hat. Mm-hmm.
I do sense that sort of beneath the humor of a lot of the music and the wardrobes that you guys have a real love for this kind of music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, I think it's easy to think of playing old music as like a gimmick. But it's the music that connects most with us. And so it's for us, it's just as much in the present as, you know, a more contemporary type of music, because it's what we do every day.
Councilman, did you want to add to that?
No, I was just thinking about doing it every day. It's we've been doing it a long time.
Did I catch you questioning your life choices on the radio again?
I thought
every time we're on the radio.
I thought he said, "Well, you know what?" That when he was sensing something behind it, I thought we were going to say something about a great sadness.
Underlying
all the humor and good times.
There is, but isn't that always what's underlying great humor?
Yeah. Pork Chops could be read as I hate myself. Why did I write this song? I'm humiliating myself playing this.
Let's start to talk about some of your food related songs.
Oh yeah,
and we should
a lot.
Say that not all of them are food related. And later in the show, we'll hear an example of one of your songs that's not food related.
Yeah.
But cheese and crackers. Let's start with cheese and crackers.
Mm. You got cheese, looking for a cracker. Honey, I may be the one. Oh, everyone in life needs a little partner. Girl, you're getting older, it's getting harder. You can do with me all you please. Spread yourself all over me. If you got cheese, looking for a cracker, honey, I may be the one.
So, what are some of your favorite cheese and cracker combos?
That's a great. I mean, anything with a Triscuit for me.
Yeah, we traveling over the years, we used to travel with Triscuit. In van, it's like traveling with baby. We were big Triscuit hummus dippers. For a while.
So again, we took some artistic liberties in the translation from our real life experience, more of a hummus and crackers situation, to cheese and crackers. Because hummus and crackers, that would have been a good song too.
Yeah, Triscuit and hummus. I worked on that one. It was not a good song.
Triscuit and hummus.
It just didn't work out.
But the problem with cheese in the van, because we do most of our eating in the van. The problem with cheese in the van, we don't have a refrigerant, so you get a lot of sweaty cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Sweaty, breaking up, crumbling. So sweaty cheese and crackers, but again, a little less subtle, you know, because then you get the full image.
When you dip a Triscuit, I find that they're kind of salty, and I don't usually like to dip a whole Triscuit, but I love that they have that sort of slight waffle pattern on the top, and you can break them along the lines and get a thin vertical half Triscuit.
Are you telling me you break your Triscuit in half before
dipping? Because otherwise it's too much Triscuit, too salty.
Controversial.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that much time on our hands. I mean, like,
you don't? You're in a van for hours.
No, but the thing is, you're in a van, you could be swerving at any moment, you have to do a quick dip and get as much hummus on the cracker as possible.
I mean, I'm driving, I'm on my phone, I'm eating a Triscuit. It's like,
everything has to be texting,
fast. Yeah. Smoking a cigarette.
Who usually drives?
The councilman is primary driver. Mm-hmm.
And do you guys have a system to pass him food while he's driving?
We should.
Yeah. No, but we often spread napkins on each other's laps.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
we do the napkin spread. We do
that. That's so cute.
And then as big a dip as possible as you can do while driving. Because otherwise, you do dainty dip, and you can poke yourself in the eye, hit a bump or something.
But councilman, so you have to dip a Triscuit into hummus while driving. Andy Bean won't dip the Triscuit for you and hand it to you?
No, because then it becomes a man is actually feeding you. Because you can't, it's hard to pass off a Triscuit if it's loaded up with hummus.
Yeah.
You have to do that yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of no-look dipping, which is
dangerous. I'd say we've been on the road for almost a decade, and at no point have we fed each other.
No. Yeah,
which is good. That's a good streak to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's chat about Pork Chops, which we heard at the top of the show, which has the wonderful lyric, "My girl tastes like pork chops." What is the best food to taste on someone else's lips?
Do you guys know my mom listens to this show? Because I want to tell a brief story. Does she listen to this? I don't think so.
No.
Let's assume not.
No offense.
No problem.
This reminds me, this question reminds me of a terrible experience, but wonderful I had. I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And I was given a ration of Chips Ahoy cookies at dinner. And then I ate mine really quickly. But I wanted more, but I wasn't allowed to have any more. And this is a little bit disgusting. But my mom was still eating hers. So I pretended to kiss my mom goodnight. And I didn't know this at the time, but I French kissed my mom to try to dig out the Chips Ahoy that she was chewing on. And this was... And she was taken aback.
Did this become a regular thing?
No, but I just remembered that moment of like just scoring a little, not scoring with my mom, but scoring, you know, like a couple extra Chips Ahoy, slightly pre-chewed bits.
Oh, yeah. Some...
I mean, it was such a victory. And I don't think I've had as satisfying an experience. Our man Brian has an allergy to peanuts. If you were to taste peanuts off someone's lips, it'd be lights out.
Yeah.
So those are the two extremes of the tasting. It's like lights out or kissing your mom, but getting some cookies out of it. So, I mean, that's as good and as bad as it gets.
Councilman, do you have a favorite food to taste on someone else's lips?
No, I think the absence of food is my favorite.
I'd have to go with peach crisp because it's a little sweet, but you get a little cinnamon and some sugar, but you also get sort of that. I mean, I think that peaches, who doesn't want to taste peaches on someone's lips?
I guess we're sort of, at this point, because you don't get any of the texture of the food, this is almost like, what's your favorite chapstick flavor?
Right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's hear another song.
And I guess we'll do something not food or beverage related.
Please.
But let's do one of the other themes we address. Let's do an obscure historical figure. Here's a song we wrote about a drunkard, so still food and beverage related. It's Franklin Pierce, our 14th president, 13th? Do you remember?
One of the gang.
Yeah, one of them. Somewhere in the 19th century. Here we go. Franklin Pierce, the handsome drunkard. 2, 3, 4.
Oh, didn't he wander the street to conquer? It wasn't he dizzy with beer? But you know there ain't nothing funny about the death of Franklin Pierce. Oh, the Lord gave him 3 children, and he took them all away. Struck 2 down with typhus and crushed 1 beneath the train. That's why he filled the White House up with tears. Oh, there ain't nothing funny about the death of Franklin Pierce. In old New Hampshire.
Coming up, more music and more discussion of eating while driving with the Two Man Gentleman Band. Plus, I'll talk to Zach Brooks, host of the podcast Food is the New Rock. We'll compare Hall & Oates to mac and cheese. Stay with us.
Oh, when you're all alone and your money's gone and your whole family's dead, sit back and have another drink, Mr. President, because ain't that every good man's fear? Oh, there ain't nothing funny about the death of Franklin Pierce.
Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Food and music have a lot in common. There are different types for different moods. Some of it is high art. Some of it just makes you feel good. Of course, you might say that's true about any type of art or culture. But Zach Brooks would disagree. He says food and music have a unique relationship. On his podcast, Food is the New Rock, he talks to musicians about food and chefs about music. Zach lives in L.A., where we met up for a friendly debate about his thesis.
I think to put it in its most basic terms, when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was obsessed with music. I was obsessed with like albums, the newest band, going to concerts. The music I listened to defined who I was as a human being. It's what I talked about with all my friends. Sometime in my late 20s, early 30s, music basically got replaced with food and restaurants and chefs. And it's not something that could have happened 20 or 30 years ago, but now with all the websites that are devoted to this topic, with all these new chefs who have tattoos and look like
rock stars.
Yeah, they look like...
And are treated like rock stars.
Yeah, and are treated like rock stars. Like, that's something... And that's happened because food has now become a way for creative people to express themselves.
But really, it's more permissible to love mac and cheese, a food you loved when you were a kid, that you know, although in some...
Than it is to love Hall & Oates, who played the main stage at Outside Lands last year, a concert that was headlined by Kanye. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you know what I mean?
But don't you feel like somehow with food there is... I feel like a lot of people who would go see Hall & Oates in 2015 are going there partly because they feel like they're being ironic. They do like the music, but they like it sort of with a wink.
You mean that it's gotten cool again? But don't you think that, like, you look at something like Bacon, you know, which...
Well, Bacon, like, is more timeless. Bacon's like Mozart.
Wait. It's timeless. It's timeless in some ways, but not... I mean, there is a Bacon backlash right now that's going on.
Right.
Because, you know, it's this timeless thing that had its like thing where, I mean, just like music is timeless, like pop music is timeless, but you know, certain things come into fashion, go out of fashion, there's a backlash, whatever. Bacon, you know, I think right now we're in a backlash period because we just went through this, like, put bacon on everything.
Right. I said it, and in I declared in my book that bacon's overrated.
Right, and no one's arguing that bacon doesn't taste good or that bacon's going to go away. It's never going to go away. But certainly, like, it goes, there's cycles, you know. So right now we're in a bacon backlash, and then eventually, you know, maybe in 10 years, like, bacon will come back as this. And it's the same with music. I mean, you know, there are things that were considered super cheesy and untouchable a few years ago, but, and I think it has to do with just the age of the people who are kind of deciding what's right, cool and what's not cool, and how far removed are you from these things. And then once the nostalgia of it kind of kicks in, and
I guess I get what you're saying. Yes, look, that's the way with all trends. You know, things come in and out of fashion, and then they come back because people feel nostalgic. I just feel like with the classic sort of comfort foods, like, let's say, mac and cheese, like, mac and cheese will never go out of style. Like, people will always think mac and cheese is cool and wonderful, whereas Hall and Oates, I feel like as I get older, I am more accepting of, like, I now think of Hall and Oates as being more like mac and cheese.
Sure.
I now feel like, you know what? I don't care if it's kind of simple and kind of cheesy, no pun intended. Like, you know what? She's a rich girl. That's just a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great song. And mac and cheese is a great dish.
Yeah, as you get older, you're less concerned about the new fads and the things, and you just want the more simple things. And you're proving our thesis. I mean,
right.
It's the same. I mean, right? Isn't that what you're... I mean, it's... yeah, as you get older...
But I feel like there's more judgment in the world of music.
Wait, you're telling me that in your there's more judgment?
Like, I feel like there's more of like a, well, I don't like that band. They're cheesy and lame, who would ever judge you for saying I love mac and cheese?
Oh my god, you don't read food blogs, are you kidding? I mean, that's
only pretentious jerks would judge you.
But that's are you saying that on the music side, people are pretentious jerks?
Yes,
too,
but also non-pretentious non-jerks would judge you for liking Hall and Oates.
I think that music has not always occupied this space in pop culture. That's part of our thesis, is that, you know, food is the new rock. The point of that, you know, that statement, the name, is that food has actually become way more like music in the past 10 or 15 years.
Right. I think that what the thesis is, that the universe is slowly melding into one, and this, at its very essence, is someone eating mac and cheese listening to Hall & Oates.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, it sounds like a dream. Sounds like a dream.
If only we had the technology to make it a reality. That's Zach Brooks. If you want to hear much more of our conversation, I'm actually Zach's guest this week on his podcast. It's called Food is the New Rock. Check it out. We'll get back to my conversation with the Two-Man Gentleman Band right after this brief musical interlude. My guests in studio today are the Two-Man Gentleman Band. And folks can check out the band at thetwogentlemen.com. Their extensive catalog of music, excellent music, food-related and otherwise, is available on iTunes. Their latest album is called Enthusiastic Attempts at Hot Swing and String Band Favorites. I want to delve into a little bit more tour bus eating.
Oh, okay,
I think this
is
useful for anyone driving and eating, which can be dangerous but also rewarding. Do you have other tips for young musicians or just folks out there who are trying to eat while driving? Some tricks of the trade from people who've done it a lot?
I think one of the keys is just have a high personal tolerance for crumbs, you know, and just not be...
But you can take steps, like we said, the laying of napkins.
Yeah.
Is a step you can take to prevent crumbs. Prepare the food before you're going to eat it. Have someone eat it.
Yeah, be able to reach the food.
Yeah, get it ready so that it's easy to eat. Yeah. So you're not, no knife and fork stuff.
It's in the trunk, and it hasn't been cut yet. You don't want that situation.
Leaning your seat upright more, like more in towards the steering wheel helps. So you're not leaning back and have more surface area, chest and lap to accumulate.
I also think it's important too. Don't wear your evening pants all day in the van.
Wear your
snacking pants, and be emotionally prepared for the inevitable disaster that's going to happen. Although we've been pretty light on spillage.
Well, I have a book out called Eat More Better, and there's a whole section.
Oh, he's plugging his book.
That's right. That's right. Did you guys think this was about us?
What have we been on for 5 minutes? Plugging his book.
Did you guys think this was about you?
Yeah. Vehicle for a book plug.
There's a whole section of the book on vehicular eating.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
wow. And I got a trick I want to tell you about. Tell me what you think of this. Because, you know, it's always, if you ever get, like, fast food when you're on the road, if you end up with a paper wrapper, you could take the sandwich out, hold it in your hand, and you take the paper wrapper and you shove it down into the cup holder and you mold it to the cup holder. And then you can squirt ketchup in there and create a dipping basin for your fries. And then you can pull the edges of the paper out from the cup holder and it comes right out cleanly.
I'm just realizing, I think we've maybe been too Spartan in our road eating habits, because it's mostly been just like a beverage and some sort of granola bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, we have not even thought of dipping basins.
Yeah, we can't.
You guys have a whole song called Dippin' Sauce.
Well, we thought of dippin' sauce. Yeah. Right? We haven't thought of dipping in every other word after that.
But it's
a good idea. But also, what about how do you judge and gauge the structural the paper itself, like whether it'll leak through? The ketchup, whether it'll go through to your cup holder.
Most of those papers have a waxy interior coating
that I think will
hold up for at least a few minutes.
Okay.
Let's chat about a couple more of your food-related songs or songs.
We have more?
Yeah, I guess we do. I think so. I want to talk about tikka masala.
Oh, tikka masala.
Tikka masala, baby. Tikka masala. I like your spice. Oh, on the night I met you, I holla, take my hand, please. Close my eyes. It was sunrise, floating with you down the river Ganges. Floating with you down the river Ganges. Teak, teak, teak a masala. Teak a masala, baby. Teak, teak, teak a masala. I like your spice.
Now, it's really more of a love song than a food song. Your wife is Indian American. I love that the music in this song, like so much of your music, is so rooted in this specific strain of Americana.
Yeah.
And yet you're singing about Indian food.
Yeah.
Now, in Tikka Masala, you sing that you like it spicy.
Yeah.
And I know that there's sort of a thing with all different ethnic foods where spice is a big factor. There's sort of like gringo spicy and real ethnic spicy.
Yeah.
And when you go into an Indian restaurant, do you ever do that? And you go in with your wife. You like it spicy. How do you navigate getting it as spicy as you want? Do you feel like they don't take you seriously, or they do because you're married to an Indian woman?
Again, I claim artistic artistic liberties on this one. I don't actually particularly like it spicy. I like it a little bit spicy, but if that wouldn't work as a lyric. Like, I like it spicy, just not too spicy, just a little bit spicy when you make it. Just like kind of a balance. Like, I want it to have some flavor. That wouldn't work. So again, an artistic liberty.
But how do you navigate ordering spice at an Indian restaurant?
I usually say something to the effect of a little bit spicier than usual for a white guy. Because sometimes they'll make it really bland. It'll be like kind of the packaged Indian food, which is, not spicy at all. But I say, you can put a little extra in.
Last song I want to talk about, we'll go out on this song, but let's chat about it for a minute first, and that is Fancy Beer. I love this song. And I especially, it's one of my all-time favorite lyrics of yours. I love, when the weather is stormy and daybreak is far, I throw an extra $1.50 on the bar. There's no sense in saving pennies when I don't know where you are. I drink a fancy beer. Andy Bean.
It sounds great as poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a whole beat poetry album.
Yeah.
When you are feeling a little lonely and you decide to plop down that extra $1.50, what is your fancy beer of choice?
So this is a thing that we've been running into on the road. We get a lot of fancy beers purchased for us. And I think fancy for a lot of people means just bold and high alcohol and a lot of hops and things. And we've been finding that a fancy beer for me is like a nice light golden pilsner.
Wow. That's
so
great, yeah.
Yeah. So fancy doesn't necessarily mean extravagant.
Councilman, fancy beer of choice?
I'm kind of an English ale, like a Boddington's Old Speckled Hen kind of man.
Gotcha. Brian?
I've been going with the Estrella Dura.
Whoa, that sounds like it's from another country.
It's a Spanish gluten-free beer that is very tasty.
All right, excellent. Well, Andy Bean, lead vocals, guitar, Fuller Condon, the councilman on upright bass, Brian Cantor on snare drum, thank you so much. You guys are the two-man gentleman band. Everyone check them out at thetwogentlemen.com. Let's go out with Fancy Beer.
Fancy Beer. 3, 4.
Fancy beer.
2, 3, 4. When I'm lonely, I drink a fancy beer.
Fancy beer.
Oh, when I want you only, I drink a fancy beer.
Fancy beer.
And when the weather's
all right, friends, thanks as always for tuning in. Remember that you can find recipes, videos, other podcasts, and lots of fun at sporkful.com. Next week on The Sporkful, we're taking a field trip to the Campbell Soup Test Facility. They have 5 different test kitchens, each one designed to replicate one type of consumer's home kitchen. So, which type are you? Are you a constrained, wishful eater? Or maybe a passionate kitchen master? Find out next week. In the meantime, please connect with me on social media, on Twitter, at The Sporkful, on Facebook, facebook.com/sporkful. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani. Our web writers are Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Our engineer this week was Bill Moss. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Oh, when I'm lonely.
When I'm lonely,
I drink a fancy beer.
Fancy beer.
Oh, when I want you only, I drink a fancy beer.
Fancy beer.
And when the weather's stormy.
When the weather is stormy.
And daybreak's far.
And at daybreak it is far.
I throw an extra $1.50 on the bar. There's no sense in saving pennies if I don't know where you are. I drink a fancy beer. And I drink it quickly. I drink a fancy beer.
2, 3, 4!